Wasn't that a blessing? That was good. Open your Bibles again to chapter 12, verses 35 through 40. And the passage of Scripture, in fact, the entire chapter deals with the fact that Jesus is coming again. And we don't know when He is coming, but He is coming again. And we need to be ready for His return. That's the purpose of the message today. In fact, in Luke chapter 12, he warns about four things. If you read the whole chapter, you'll find that he warned about hypocrisy. Second of all, he warned about covetousness. Third of all, he warned about living in worry and fear. And then number four, he warned about carelessness. And he said the way to solve all of these things, the way to keep from being a hypocrite in life, or the way to keep from being covetous, the way to keep from worrying, the way to keep from living a careless life is always watching for the return of Christ. Now, when you look at this passage of Scripture, if you know about police work or somebody in your family that's a police officer, there is a lot of description of a police officer in this passage. You'll note in verse number 36, he talks about the master returning, and in the last line it says, may open unto him immediately, or always being ready for his return. Verse number 37, right in the middle of that verse, it says, watching. And then in verse 38 says, we don't know when he's going to return. And he said it could be the second watch, it could be the third watch, but blessed are those servants that are ready. And then in verse number 40, he said, be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. And I want to preach very simply this morning on the subject, Jesus is coming again. I'll talk about the readiness of a police officer in just a moment. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bow our heads in prayer, not of habit, Lord, not of requirement, but because I hunger for the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. The message, the truth, is so important for the hour in which we live, and I pray that you'd help me as I preach it, the message today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. One of the impressive things about police at work is their quick response to a call, and it's always measured. In fact, you can find about any department or law enforcement organization, they rate them at best and how long it takes them to respond, and they always move with an urgency. They respond quickly. They're trained to respond. They're trained in that. They're trained to know what to do when emergencies come, when they're prepared for all of those things. A few times I've had the opportunity to do ride-alongs with a police officer. And most of the time with state police, several times with my brother Chris. I enjoyed the morning shift best. I enjoyed that shift best because they didn't have a lot of things going on. Folks were going to work, and I've sat in the car beside him, and you know, he pushes that button, and the radar works to see how fast the car is coming. You know, it's exciting if you're sitting in a police car. And you know, the speed limit's 55, and one comes over the hill 62. I said, hey, bud, that's 62. That's seven over. He said, he's going to work. Next one comes over the hill, 72. I said, you got him. Now, if that's me coming over the hill, I would say, Lord, please have mercy, you know. But I've enjoyed the morning shift. I was coming back from preaching a meeting somewhere in the Carolinas, and I called my brother Chris. I said, I'm coming through. I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm actually working tonight. I'm on patrol. And it was probably 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. He said, won't you stop by and spend some time with me? And so I did. And I was hoping it would just be a quiet night. And I remember how nervous I got when they said 566 Hazard. And his number was 566, and he said, go ahead, Hazard. And he was working the Hazard post, and then they started talking in code. I said, what does that mean? He said, just hold on. And he took off, and the lights came on, and I just got nervous. I mean, I couldn't be a police officer. I just couldn't. And I watched the speedometer go 60, 70, 80, and then I closed my eyes. I don't know how fast he got after that. But there had been a shooting, and he said to me when we got to the scene, he said, "You stay in the car." I said, "You mark it down. I'll stay in the car." And so I did. I got down the floorboard of the car, and I looked up now and again to see. And sure enough, a fellow had been shot. And it's interesting how quickly they respond, and police understand that time matters. When emergencies occur and they are trained and prepared for sudden events. As I read this passage of Scripture, thinking of Justice Sunday and Law Enforcement Sunday, I was reminded as they're prepared to be ready, and they can get ready faster than anybody. I mean, when the call comes, I mean, they can be in their uniform and in their car and on their way in just a matter of minutes, just when I say, "Wait a minute, let me find my shoes here." And but they're ready to go. And I find here where the Bible says that all of us should have a readiness and an expectation when it comes to the return of Christ. And the one thing that helps us in our walk with God, in our service for God, and in our mental and emotional control of life is to realize Jesus could come today. And I need to be ready for His return. I want to say several things about this passage of Scripture this morning. First of all, the Lord is coming. He is going to return. And I look forward to the return of Christ. Now, this is not talking about the coming of death. In death, we go to Him, but the coming of the Lord Himself, He meets us in the air and He calls us to heaven. In John chapter 14, He says, "I'm going back to heaven. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, I'll receive you unto myself." I don't know how long it's been since you thought about the fact that Jesus is coming soon, but I want you to understand when you leave today, I want you to be aware of the fact that Jesus could return today. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 52, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye." Well, that's pretty fast, isn't it? "At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Matthew 25, 13, watch ye therefore, not talking police officers, talking about every child of God. He says, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Matthew 24, 27, "For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." We've all experienced that. We've been outside during a storm and maybe a standing on the porch. And I like storms. I like rain. But when all of a sudden the lightning flashes, I've seen enough. I go inside. But that lightning comes unexpectedly. And the Bible says Jesus is going to return, and He's going to return as lightning appears in the sky. Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 28, "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation." In the book of Matthew, the Bible records in chapter 24, "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." And so the Lord is going to return. Second of all, He's going to come suddenly. Look at verse number 39, if you will. "When He returns, He will not return slowly. He will not return in a series, but He will return suddenly." The Bible says, "And this know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not suffered his house to be broken through." And He uses that as an example. It's amazing how wise a thief is. It's amazing how much that they know and they prepare. And if you knew what hour they were coming, you would prevent that. And He said, "I want you to know that when Jesus returns, He's going to return suddenly. He's going to return at a time that is not expected." And He gives the illustration, the two illustrations, as lightning flashes in the sky or as a thief in the night. How sad it is to me to think of those today that have have no thoughts, and worse, no preparation for the return of the Lord. Our culture today is busy. Our culture today, by the way, it's sad, all of the activities that are promoted on Sunday. America would be a lot better if the only activities we had planned for Sunday morning was Sunday school and church. Our culture is busy, so many activities, so many things to do, so many things to go and see, and we fail to realize that time is not forever, and one day Christ is going to return. The church at Thessalonica was a difficult place to be a Christian because there was great hatred for the church in Thessalonica. In fact, Paul was there shy of 3 weeks in Thessalonica because of the persecution of the church. And Paul later wrote a letter back from Corinth to the church at Thessalonica. And here's what he said to them as far as the coming of Christ. And when you think about the coming of Christ and you start reading the Bible, you realize how much he reminded us, be ready, Jesus is coming. Be ready, Jesus is coming. He said to the church, therefore yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. We're expecting our 7th grandchild this week, and the doctor said, I believe it was last Friday, it could be any day, and we don't know. And of course, Grandpa texted every 30 minutes and said, is it now? No, Dad, we'll let you know when. Is it now? And I keep texting, and when John saw me, he said, we're okay, we're good. And hey, but he's on high alert this morning, and because they're ready for that child to come. And that illustration says travail is going to come. You know, when you carried that child for 9 months and you know that the time is coming, dear friend, that's an example to understand. We're at that point in time for Christ to return as far as Bible prophecy is concerned. And then he said this to the church at Thessalonica, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Let us therefore not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. He will come, and he will come suddenly. I want to say number three, very simply, just what the Bible says here, we should be watching for his return. When's the last time you thought about the return of Christ? Could it be today? I wrote down a statement. You ever write something down or say something and you thought, wow, that was good. That was good. And or say something and you... I wrote this statement down and I wrote, we are not to look for death, but the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior who gave himself for us. Sadly, many folks, they look for death. How long am I going to live? You know, as a preacher, I get, and I have probably 300 prayer requests that I pray for. I get emergency notes of early yesterday morning. I got a note to pray for a family whose son had been killed in a boating accident here in Kentucky. And I get those often. And because of that, and I preach funerals of folks much younger than me and my same age that died of cancer. And so sometimes you think, boy, when's it going to be me? When's it going to be me? And you think about death. You know what the Bible says? Don't spend your time thinking about death. Think about the return of Christ. Well, it's a whole lot better, isn't it? I'd rather think about the return of Christ than to think about death. We should be looking for the return of Christ. I'm preaching to us as a reminder. And if Jesus were here in those 3.5 years that he ministered on earth, when you find in the Gospels what he preached about, one of the things that he said was, I'm going back to heaven and I'm going to return. Dear friend, they expected him even in that first generation. And surely we should be expecting him today. Titus wrote in chapter 2, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. 1 Thessalonians 1, 6 through 10, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, the church at Thessalonica were under persecution, and with the joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad. You know what he said to them? Not only have you received Christ as Savior, you have shared that warning. You have shared that alert to say, be ready for the return of Christ. Jesus is coming again. Police officers are trained to be alert. And we're grateful for that. And we think they ought to be. And folks often complain to say they got here too slow. They should have got here sooner. And they always analyze that. And I've thought about that. In fact, I looked this past week at the response time. And the truth is, if you're waiting, of course, 2 minutes seems like forever. I see them and you see them often in a hurry. But the Bible says, it's not just police officers ought to be alert. It's you and I ought to be alert waiting for the return of Christ. As a child and a teenager close to my parents, they were not away from home very much. But sometimes my dad would go to a preacher's conference and we would stay with our grandparents. And I was always anxious for their return. We had a busload of teenagers, went to a youth conference in Alabama Friday night, and yesterday morning I got back about 11 o'clock yesterday evening, and I don't know how many times Laura sent me a text and said, I miss you, I look forward to being home. She had just gone 24 hours. If we love one another and miss one another, just gone on a trip, just gone on a vacation, should we not miss, should we not be expecting, should we not be waiting for the return of the Lord Jesus? And so I say number 4 from verse number 40, be ye therefore ready also. This readiness consists of, as he says in verse 35, having your loins girded and your lamps burning. That's a sign that somebody is home. Your loins girded and your lamps burning. The girded and the burning speaks of teaching truth and testimony of living. The need of these days in which we live are Christians who live the truth of the Word of God and are a testimony of the fact. Why do you behave that way? Why do you go to church? Why do you read your Bible? Why do you witness to others? I'll tell you why I do it. I'm motivated by the fact that Jesus is coming again, and those who do not know Him as Savior first will be left behind and later would be cast into hell. This is the greatest motivation for the child of God. This is the greatest motivation for the church. And the lamp of our lives should be trimmed and burning brightly with the power of the Holy Spirit within us to cause us to let our light shine. Look at me, I want to ask you a question. Is your light shining? Are you shedding a light on the fact that Jesus is coming soon? We need to be ready to meet Him. Ephesians 5:18, the Bible says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The Bible tells us in Romans 5 and verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. It is often the work of law enforcement to issue an evacuation order or to issue a warning of something of a peril or a danger that's coming. Oftentimes in southern states, because of hurricanes, they will issue an order of evacuation, and we see it all the time. Folks will say, no, I'm just going to ride out the storm. Sometimes it works. Other times it's frustrating because folks have to risk their lives to rescue someone that did not heed the warning. I would be a fraud of a preacher if I did not warn you that Jesus is coming soon, and you and I must be ready to meet him, not only in the fact of being born again, but as a child of God. For you see, number five, I want to say, the faithful will be rewarded when he comes. Verses 41 through 44 talks about the reward of the master when he returns. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, let a man so account of us as of ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 in verse number 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. His well done will never be spoken to those who have lived for themselves and never taken part in the work and the will of God. He desires to reward those that serve him. I never remember my father leaving home, whether it was a few hours or a day, without reminding me of my chores. Young people may not know what that means. It means work. It means cutting the grass. It means taking out the garbage. It meant making sure the barn was clean, making sure the animals were fed. He would always give me chores. Now, my dad was a great dad, a great father. Now, I feared not having those chores done, and my grandmother was the great Holy Spirit who would say to me, boy, your daddy's going to be home soon. You better get to work. That's what I'm doing today, is saying, we need to be faithful in working because he is returning. Ah, but he was a good dad. We didn't have a lot growing up, and I thought everybody grew up like we did, and I'm dead sure not complaining, but I remember him giving reward. I remember us stopping at the old country store, and there were no Walmarts in that day, but the old country store that we would stop by, and there was nothing that blessed my heart anymore for my dad to walk in. Of course, he knew all the men knew him, and to be with dad and him to say, this is my son. And I'd get a knee-high or an RC Cola and a pack of peanuts or Nabs or a moon pie. But I'm preaching the truth now, ain't I? That's good stuff. And just to stand there with dad or to sit on that whittling and spitting bench, just whittled. And to sit there and to be recognized as his son. And he was always proud of me. If I worked, one day I'm going to stand before my heavenly father. I don't want to stand before him ashamed. I don't want to stand before him embarrassment, having not done my chores, having not let my light shine, having not been salt of the earth, having not lived a life that pointed people to righteousness and pointed people to Christ and pointed people to salvation. But I want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. The unfaithful will suffer loss at his coming. And now, little children, abide in him, John said, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. How many times as your child, teenager or child, when you got home, they said, hey, Dad, I want to show you something. And they take you to their room that's clean. Or they take you to the chore that is complete. I want to say this morning, you and I need to live understanding that Jesus is coming soon. He's coming soon. You say, preacher, I think it's going to be a long time. You may be one that's surprised at his coming. And I say in these things in closing, first of all, if you've never trusted Christ as Savior, you should trust Christ as your Savior today. Understand that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Understand that the wages of sin is death. Understand that the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 20, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's the bad news. The good news is that God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I was just a boy, not hardly 6 years old, when I prayed to receive Christ as my Savior. You know the time. You know the place that you received Christ. If you don't know a place and you don't know a time that you received him as Savior, you ought to receive him as your Savior today. But the Christian life is more than just being saved. I was born 1964, but I wasn't born just to be born. God had a purpose, a plan, a will for my life. God has a purpose and a plan and a will for your life. And it will come into focus much clearer as we look for the return of Christ. And as we expect Him to return at any day or any hour, we need to know what God's will is for our life. One time several years ago, my brother, who had been a police officer for maybe 10 or 12 years, he said this to me. He said, "I wish God could be as pleased with me as He is with you." And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, you're a preacher. You're a preacher." He said, "I'm a police officer." I said, "Oh, no, you have to understand, God has a will for every person's life. And we need Christians who are police officers and public servants and teachers. Whatever the case may be, you need to do God's will for your life." The ironic thing about it, after he retired, he became a preacher. And I remember when he first started his church, and I'm trying to quit. I'm going to quit soon. The pulpit goes down in 2 minutes, and so I'll quit anyway. A reporter said to a lady in my brother's church, "When did you first meet Pastor Fugit?" Talking about my brother Chris. And she said, "When he arrested me." That's the first time. And the reporter said, "What do you mean?" She said, "Well, he's a cop, or used to be a cop, and I always told him." I said, "No wonder you have more converts than I do. I have a 1611 King James. You have a 1611 and a 357. That makes a big difference when it comes to witnessing. But do the will of God for your life. And last of all, look at me now. Live with the fact that Jesus is coming soon. You go to class and it's test day. You pay attention. You're on alert. You're ready. When it comes to living the Christian life, we need to live it according to Luke chapter 12. Jesus could come at any time. Stand with me if you will. Thank you for listening so well today. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If you're here and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, I plead with you today, would you trust Him as your Savior today? Maybe you're here as a Christian this morning. You have no question, no doubt of your salvation. But this morning, if the Holy Spirit has spoken to your heart, and the Holy Spirit said, "You haven't thought of the return of Christ in 6 months. The return of Christ has not motivated the way you live or your testimony one time." This morning, you need to pray and say, "God, help me to live with the return of Christ in mind." Just a moment, the altar will be open. He'll sing the invitation song, whatever the need is in your life. If you desire to use the altar, whether to trust Christ as Savior or simply pray for a need in your life, you're invited to come. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. And it's an amazing thing as you read through the Scripture and you recognize how many times you refer and other writers referred to the coming of Christ. Our world is so busy today. Our lives are so busy. And Lord, we need Sunday mornings like this that put life in perspective to say, we're not going to live here forever. Jesus is coming soon. Bless your invitation, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As he sings on the invitation song, God's spoken to your heart. If you have a burden, you have a need in your life.